You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
How about that flash of anger from Bricker? You saw that too, right? Where he got pissed off?
I just wanted to get off the phone at some point. It was ridiculous. I finally had to make up an excuse that I got somebody, I should have said a Fuller brush salesman was knocking on my door. I didn't know what to do at that point.
A Fuller brush? What a great excuse.
That happened to me once. And it was a guy right out of Central Casting. It was an old guy with a Panama hat and a bow tie selling Fuller brushes door to door. I swear on my life.
Last week?
No, it was like 20 years ago, but it actually happened.
A Fuller brush salesman.
This is great.
What is it? Is it like, I'm Googling it. Is it like a vacuum?
No, it's like kitchen products. And he had a big giant basket of all different kinds of brushes and kitchen cleaning things and...
Did you buy any?
I think I did. Yeah. It's a beautiful brush. The
that
brush.
Is, we got a term on Cinephobe called 20CB, like stuff that only happened in 20th century. Buying things from a door-to-door salesman.
Yeah.
Like, you like actually had the product on hand and you went ahead and made the purchase. That's a very 20th century, like that doesn't happen today, right?
No, no. When was the last time anyone bought something from a catalog?
Well, not a catalog. I'm talking about the man came with a bag of wares on him and says, check this brush out. Check this spatula out. And you're like, you know what? I will purchase this set.
You think like, I mean, in small town America, do they still have like door-to-door milk deliverers?
Oh, yeah, they
do. Well, that's what Jess saying the last time she drank milk was when they had the milk delivery. And I'm like, the 50s? When was that? Like,
My dad, Wild Bill Cody, used to sell blocks of ice. On a horse
drawn
carriage.
No, shut up, man.
No.
On a horse drawn carriage.
Come on.
Big, giant tong.
As a kid. As a kid?
Yes.
No, I don't think he's making this
up.
I'm
not.
Look, Wild Bill Cody was old my entire life. Wild Bill Cody, I think you're probably talking about your dad as a 12-year-old going door to door with giant blocks of ice in the in like the Great Depression.
Yeah, right. Yeah, maybe before the Great Depression.
Where did they come from? And where did they go at the end if he didn't sell them? I mean, they melted. right?
Right. I think back then, the primitive refrigerators, you put the block of ice on the bottom of the fridge or something?
It was an ice box. It wasn't really
an ice
fridge.
Box. Yeah. That's right. They called them ice boxes.
You put the ice in there, and then that acts as a refrigerant.
Yeah, and that was a thing.
But, I mean, like, Greg, jokes aside, I didn't know you were that old, man. That your father would have actually lived in a time before refrigerators.
You didn't know he'd be that. I didn't know he was that old.
I feel like that's an exaggeration.
He didn't have a cell phone either.
He calls his father Wild Bill Cody as if he's somebody who walked into saloons dragging spurs in the 1700s.
I think my dad was born in 1916.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at 12 years old, he would have been during the Great Depression.
Working.
Bringing with a, what is that?
Tongs.
Yeah, tongs, giant tongs that would carry ice.
Right.
That's why your father was always fit, right? Like, I mean, he was always a very fit man because he's running around carrying giant blocks of ice.
Yeah, my dad was never overweight.
Where are you guys from?
We're from the Northeast, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Gaz is your favorite player.
I remember now. Sure is.
You know how you guys said that no one goes door to door selling things anymore?
Uh-huh.
I think if an Amazon truck were to show up at my house, because I saw three Amazon trucks on my mother-in-law's block yesterday.
You got excited?
And no, I was like, what the hell are these three? It was like those Mercedes, like Sprinter vans.
Oh, yeah.
They're spending a ton of money on delivery trucks. Like, those seem really expensive. And I guess one was broken down because it seemed like they were just back to back and things were just being shuffled back and forth. I was also thinking this is really inefficient to have three of them on the same block. Like, why didn't the same van just get all three? But anyway, if an Amazon truck were to show up my house and say, give me $100, go inside and pick three things,
I think I would
do it.
Like a Storage Wars on wheels?
That's a good idea, actually. It is.
What mystery box.
Do I ruin this fun game if I tell you that Robert Reich writes that Amazon workers in San Bernardino, California, held a walkout in protest of low pay and terrible working conditions? The workers are asking for a $5 raise. Amazon reported a record $35 billion in pre-tax income last year, the least it can do to fulfill these workers' demands. The trucks are bouncing into each other in every neighborhood because we all have become dependent on Amazon and also Apple, which is figured out because they've got all the money in the world. Hey, you guys want 6 subscribers on a single plan? We'll do that for you. We're Apple. We can put 6 passwords on one plan if you guys want to share this.
I'm glad you didn't ruin the game.
Do you think, if you were to look into Greg's mirror where he only saw brown hair, do you think you ruined the game?
Yes.
Hmm.
Can we fix it?
I don't know.
It's ruined. It's all over. Can we fix it? I do feel like I ruined the game.
Yeah,
now. I'm looking
it.
In the mirror, and I'm feeling very self-conscious.
Ruined it.
By throwing in Amazon workers. Let's play the game again. Let's start the game again.
So yesterday, I was driving down my mother-in-law's block. I saw three Amazon trucks.
You got excited.
I didn't order anything, so I wasn't sure, but I thought it was weird because there was three of them on the same block, right? But two of them were backed up right against each other, and they had their back doors open. They were just kind of passing things back and forth.
Hmm.
So Greg before was talking about door-to-door salesmen, and I was thinking, if this Amazon truck drove up to my house, and they said, like, give me $100, you get to go inside and pick three things.
Ooh, like Storage Wars.
Yeah, I think I'd do it.
But on wheels.
That's a great game. Tell me how to play it.
It's a good idea. Billy had a great idea there. Patent it.
Does it ruin that game if I do this? Because Amazon's really taking over here. They've decided to own all of commerce. And Robert Reich writes, Amazon...
You're gonna do this again?
Amazon workers in San Bernardino, California. It's important that people know this. Held a walkout today in protest of low pay and terrible working conditions. The workers are asking for a $5 raise. $35 billion pre-tax income last year.
Yeah, I think you ruined the game.
Ruiner. Dan, I think I can save the game.
Oh. Like Billy, if you walk into that truck, are the boxes brown, Amazon brown, or can you see what's inside them?
Wow. No.
Oh, no.
You can't.
It's just the box?
You're picking a box. You're shaking it. How heavy is it?
Shaking it.
So you don't. It's not like the way the box would show up. So you don't see any brand names. Nothing.
No, it's an Amazon box.
Let's make a deal.
It's the brown basically. Amazon box with that black tape that says Amazon, 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 Prime, 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 Prime on it.
Do I ruin the game if I say that I saw a Daily Mail story from last week that a family in New Zealand bought a storage unit and found human remains?
Oh,
inside.
I saw that story and I thought of you. Yeah, that's the weird thing.
Oh, that's dark. Yeah. That's dark.
But thank you.
Yes.
It's weird because
you did ruin the game.
I saw a story that they found a bunch of cocaine and it was turned in. Like this week.
Yes, it was 55 bags of it, correct?
Not all of it, Dano.
What?
Not all of it was turned in, Dano.
It was
out on the keys. Yeah, I was on the boat this week.
50 bags were
turned in. Did you find out who's who and what's what?
Always do.
What was that news story? Was it 55 just rolled up on the keys and somebody just turned it into authorities? 55 bags of cocaine, which is worth how much money?
I feel like that happens like every weekend in the Keys, right? Like that's just a Thursday.
The cost of doing business, right? That's they factor that into everything.
Yeah, I'm seeing the New York Post reporting 126 pounds of cocaine worth roughly $2 million washed up along the Florida Keys.
That's like when Amazon gives you the refund and doesn't even ask for the thing back. They're like, you know, just keep it.
Yeah. Crazy.
You mentioned
the coke dealers are doing that.
Can you please, all of you, help me? Because this is when I was younger. You just mentioned Let's Make a Deal, and it set off sort of alarms for me on game shows that if I'm running through the channels anywhere, I will stop on them. This has happened to me with Strahan and $100,000 Pyramid the other day, because there are a couple of these games. You don't like that one?
No.
I'll just stop in for a second because I want to do I want to see how bad the clues are because I want to watch somebody else play one of these taboo charades games under pressure. And when you said, let's make a deal, everyone can get around. Let's make a deal. I feel like
Wayne Brady's great. Big Wayne Brady.
I don't know
guy.
This one.
Let's make a deal.
You don't. It's on TV now currently.
Yeah, but
that's probably why.
Yeah,
I don't have cable.
On TV.
It's on over-the-air CBS, so you could theoretically watch that. But I never understood Let's Make a Deal. Like I watch it, and first off, it seems like it's on drugs, especially now. Like the costumes that everyone's wearing in the audience. Like it really seems like a psychedelic trip to watch this show. Like there's a giant box, and then the box collapses, and there's something small in there.
Show.
It just seems ridiculous.
Okay, so you guys are saying this is not a Hall of Fame game, then?
It's a great game. Come on,
no.
But what are the games? If you can take only four of them, that will stop you on the television. Family Feud, Price is Right, whatever the old style games are. Do you like any of these, Jessica? Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune.
Family Feud. I will watch Family Feud.
The Feud.
Family Feud.
I like Jeopardy. I haven't watched it in the last 2 years, probably.
You know what? I'll be honest. It's not the same with Alex Trebek. I can't. I tried.
I
tried with what's her name? Big Bang Theory. Not good. Yeah. I tried with with Football Guy. Not so
watching
good.
The reruns on Netflix because there's no commercials. Really? There's so many commercials during primetime game shows like that.
So I have a question. I have a question for you. You like watching it on Netflix. Like, how do you watch it? Do you watch it by yourself or do you watch it in groups? And then do you go back and rewatch the same episode you already saw when people are around and are like, wow, Jessica's so smart. She knows all the answers because you kind of
That's a brilliant idea. Yeah. No, I watch it like I watch all my other shows, which is laying horizontal in bed at 8 p.m. while holding my phone watching TikTok.
Do you hold it sideways? Do you hold your laptop sideways?
No, so the TV's on with Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
The laptop's next to me, online shopping. Uh-huh. The phone's in my hand,
got
TikTok.
It.
Wow.
Just an adrenaline rush of stimuli. I don't know. Does your brain rest? Yeah.
I have not had a silent moment of reflection in probably 7 years.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. but Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you got to listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Don Lebatard.
You sure Stan is okay with this and on board with this? Or, you know, maybe he's cursing you on the way home? I don't know. I'm just saying.
He might be a little sensitive. Yeah. As most fat people are.
Him leaving the... Top rope.
Fat was harsh. I take that back. As most heavy people are.
Big boned.
Big boned.
Stugats.
Do people have bigger bones than other people? No, right?
No, it was a myth.
That's not a thing.
No.
Right?
I think it
is. We all have different skeletons, though. Your femur's not the same size as my femur. You know what I mean?
Baby.
Femur is a leg. Why are you guys, why are you guys baby?
Whenever anybody says baby, I feel like I have to say it.
It felt like it fit.
I definitely have the smallest femur.
I've heard Abby complain about it.
Baby.
So have I.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugats.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I love this music. I love it. It ratchets up the stakes. Like, there's some serious shit on the line here.
I love steak.
Montage music also. Really good montage music. Getting better. Working the numbers.
Oh my God, speaking of which, I saw 5 minutes of a Rocky movie last night.
Which one?
I don't know.
What happened in it?
So I actually had a revelation.
Are we rolling?
I can save it for air.
Okay. Let me go back.
I thought we were rolling. I thought we were on air.
I don't think anyone's
ready. Yeah, we are.
We are? Okay.
I made a revelation while watching said Rocky film, which was on AMC, which I had left on because I was watching the finale of Better Call Saul, which also revelation yesterday that Mike, your TV takes on Better Call Saul.
Not just that show. Many shows. Mike's
takes this week have been really, I think we need to start coming in with somebody, one person, either a day or a week, has to come in with a shockingly radical take. Because right this week, Mike Ryan has gotten buried.
Oh, no, I was very clearly wrong. Apparently, I should have given it 19 hours.
You're talking about The Wire?
Yes. Hmm. What? I'm honest. Should I sit through 17 mediocre hours before it actually starts getting good for me? What do you want?
You watched season one and you were like, this is not good?
Yeah, but I stuck with it because people told me to stick with it.
No, I'm going
to
tell you right now.
Half of season
If you didn't like season one, it's just not for you, man.
Yes, I know. It's not for me.
But you can't
it's not.
It
here's the thing. The Wire is not for everybody.
You called Hamilton trash.
Hamilton is trash, though.
Oh, my God.
Hamilton is trash.
These were all on my top five lists of corrections.
Well, let's do this right now.
Should I give my Rocky revelation first? My revelation was that, so growing up, everyone in my family talked about this fabled 50th birthday party that my grandma had when she turned 50. And they had a stripper there, and his name was the Italian Stallion.
Nice.
And she always talks about the Italian Stallion and how she grabbed his buns, and they were the best buns she's ever felt in her life.
Fresh baked?
So, like, I'm watching Rocky last night, and he comes out with his robe on, and his robe says Italian Stallion.
Yeah.
I had no idea that the Italian Stallion moniker came from Rocky, and the stripper appropriated
it. What a great thing
for my grandma's
learn.
50th birthday.
I'm also going to blow your mind right now. Sylvester Stallone starred in a porno movie.
Yes, he did.
As the Italian
Stallion. It was softcore.
What?
Softcore.
No, he did.
But it was still
It was softcore.
Yeah.
Was there full frontal, though?
Not for him.
No. Softcore.
Why did you feel the need to repeat it with softcore?
Like, it's
softcore. I'm softcore. I'm an expert on this. It's softcore. 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 Softcore.
You don't see penetration. It's a big
deal. I mean, like, when you say, "Oh, Sylvester Stallone was in a porno," like, you know,
you picture like things that
porno.
You don't picture if it's softcore.
No,
I agree.
It was a porn. It's pornographic in nature, but it was just softcore.
And he was the Italian Stallion?
Italian Stallion, in the words of Carl Weathers.
And then they made that his name in Rocky?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He wrote Rocky. You know that, right?
No, I know nothing about the Rockies.
He wrote Rocky.
There was a black George Washington, which I think you may have referenced on yesterday's show.
Yeah, top five presidents.
So Jessica, here's the deal with Rocky.
That was in Hamilton, though. There wasn't a black George Washington.
No, there is in Rocky because
George Washington Carver, too.
Apollo Creed comes out. Dressed as George Washington because the fight is on July 4th, right?
Yes, that was it.
Yes.
And then I turned it off after.
Before they started fighting,
I didn't want to see people get
hurt.
That
was Rocky II. There was a black George Washington in Hamilton. Right.
Yeah.
We won't tell you who won.
Better black George Washington in Rocky II, though.
No.
The Count of Monte Fisto.
That's a good nickname.
Oh, my God.
It's a ridiculous nickname.
I love that. Right.
That's his nickname. That's Apollo. So Apollo Creed.
Also sounds like a porn movie.
Oh, my God.
Go home.
Greg.
I'm sorry. Does it not?
It's right there for all of us, and he ran with it.
Thank you.
Hubble.
Hey, why is this music playing?
I love that this music is
playing.
I miss music on our show desperately. And I've been asking for us to buy the rights to Debbie Deb for I don't know how long.
How much does it cost?
I don't know, but evidently too much for us to spend it because I've only been asking for about 12 months.
But you can't ask for 12. You have to pretend like you don't want it. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be the thing in the storage unit that you didn't want to find. You're like, I'll give you $5. And oh, Debbie Deb's in there. You know what I mean? Not Debbie Deb, but the song. You know what I mean? Constantly saying, like, I want this, then Debbie Deb's, people are going to be wise to it. If Debbie Deb has people, are going to be wise to it, and then it's going to cost a lot more.
I know what this music means. It means winning Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, wait. I want to get to Jessica's top five observations from yesterday's show because
let the music rock.
I'm sorry.
Winning Wednesday need the music.
He pushed off winning. Yeah. Does winning Wednesday need the music? Come on.
Number five. Roy is a Dolphins fan now. Since when?
This was shocking yesterday. I don't know what happened yesterday. I've not known Roy's football allegiances the entire time we've spent in this studio.
Had no idea. Number four, Mike and his Better Call Saul. I already know what happened, so I don't want to watch it. Take Mike. In the first episode of Breaking Bad, you find out that Walter White is going to die.
Yeah.
And still five seasons of really good TV.
Throw it all away.
Number three, yes,
wait,
Dan.
Wait. Within the show, though, the timeline, like, he thought he was going to die, and then within the show, spoiler alert, he finds out he's not going to die, and then we continue forward.
No, he has terminal lung cancer. He just has more time than they tell him in the first episode, but, like, you know he's going to die. Like, he doesn't have long to live. He's not going to have a happy ending.
But it's presented like he's going to die from that, and then things happen.
He kind of... Well, I don't want to spoil, things spoil happen. The end, but like he is dying when he decides to do what he does in the last episode.
I would love... Okay, look, I'm not telling you, like I'm telling you with certainty that The Wire is not for me and I didn't like it and I thought it was bad. I just haven't gotten around to Better Call Saul because there's a lot of episodes. I have to be very judicious.
Bad.
It took me five nights to finish Heat. I'm a little washed here.
I don't understand why you guys insist on
The Wire was bad for
terrible
me.
On Hamilton and Hamilton bad is terrible. I feel like this is a pretty good law.
If it takes 17 hours and it still doesn't grab you, you can call it a night.
They never talk, right? They never have one line of just regular dialogue.
Number three, Dan, weed is legal now, so I don't think that, like, that's probably why people don't react that much when...
Not everywhere, though.
But I think we always get in the argument that's like, when did this become okay now? It's like, well, because it's been legal in a lot of places for a while. I agree.
Weed?
It's not everywhere. There's still places where you go and you're like, wow, I feel like it's 2005. This is crazy.
That much weed is still jarring. Like, it is.
But there's not as many people being like, oh my God, they smoke weed. They're going to sit on the couch and be lazy and eat snacks all day. Like, that kind of stigma is gone. Whoa.
I understand that stigma is gone. I'm still stunned to see how it's fallen, and everyone needed was government permission to make
roaches,
it something
though.
That's okay.
These weren't roaches. Foot-long stogies. Like,
$5 $5 foot long.
I'm so over that shit, by the way. I can't walk into a Subway and get a sandwich for less than like $15. It's, yeah, it's like insane.
$5 foot long is a thing of the past.
Jared f***ed it up for all of us.
Yeah, he did.
Number two, again, Dan, yes, Will Smith is more famous than Ezra Miller. My sister literally lives in Angola, and her cab driver the day after the Oscars was like, did you see what Will Smith did? Like, it was an international headline. It was live on television. It involved two extremely famous international celebrities. We all saw it live. I didn't know who Ezra Miller was until like last week. I still don't really know what movies
I can't believe that that's the objection you had from our inability to navigate that segment.
What's number one?
I'm trying my best.
I will never take musical takes from this room from self-proclaimed musical haters ever. Stay out of my lane, Amin. I don't come to you talking about the NBA. Don't come on this show talking about you know musicals.
I didn't say I know musicals. I just said Hamilton's trash. That's all I said. By the way, Juju has a correction that he'd like to chime in with.
Ooh. What's up, y'all? My correction is kind of piggybacking on Jessica. I've been sleeping on this all night. Y'all said that it was too much weed in the Draymond Green wedding. That is not a real thing. I need y'all to all walk to the ocean and grow up. I'm sorry y'all are washed, but there is no such sentence as too much weed. Carry on.
Thank you, Juju. We appreciate your insights here. Time for a winning Wednesday.
Get that music!
I do think we need too much weed winning Wednesday with Juju now. I do believe that's something that we have to have. But instead, we're going with the phony. We're riding with the phony. Tony has delusional confidence about his picks. We pick directly against
Dan,
him.
Dan, I hit a parlay. I don't know what delusional confidence you're talking about.
We hit
about
the parlay with going opposite
you.
Your
that's
picks.
That's the point. I'm giving you guys winners. Like, I don't get what's happening.
I thought this we actually crazy. Won 2 days in a row. Mike, I don't know what happened.
What happened is you flew too close to the sun, Dan, and you wanted to double down, and you wanted to do like a winning Thursday, when the thing is, it's a winning Wednesday.
Right.
Starts with a W.
The whole point of this is alliteration, Dan. Yeah. Come on.
Don't screw it up.
What do you not get?
You don't want to press right away. You want to press a week later.
Regardless, we won a phony. We won a fade Tony, and now what are your guarantees here for a winning Wednesday? We've been really bad. We've won only a couple of these. We're like 2-16 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, but
parlays,
these are juicy. Yeah.
Parlays are juicy. They help you a little bit. So go ahead, give them what you got.
All right, Dan, I'm staying in the MLB. Obviously, I've been red hot. I had my lock of the century. Angels 1-12 a couple of
We did not use that one. Your lock of the century, the Angels 1-12 by a run, and you had them winning by more than a run. That was not a lock.
Well, no, I had a money line. Hold on. I had a money line, but that's a different story.
But based on the rules of the phony, we would have lost.
Correct, but I still win. So today I've got the red hot Marlins. +1.5 today against the Padres. They're looking for the sweep. I'm all over the Marlins.
Okay, so we will take the Padres. Yeah. And are we taking the Padres on?
We're taking the run line. He said +1.5 for Marlins, so we're taking -1.5 for Padres.
Padres Wait. Sending Mike Clevenger out in the bump today.
Who's pitching for the Marlins? As
Pablo
long as
Lopez, Dano.
Uh-oh.
Remember, the Padres have to win by 2 or more. I'm saying that just for Dan, who's been struggling with the concept of run lines lately.
Marlins snapped a streak yesterday of like 16 games or something in a row where they hadn't scored more than 3 runs. Oh, I think it was like the first time since like 19.
It was 17 games.
One.
Yeah. 17 games that they hadn't.
The record was 19.
Yeah.
That team's offense, Billy, I've been wanting to talk to you about it all week. We are now riding with
the
Padres.
Well, good thing it's winning Wednesday, Dano. My next pick, the Brew Crew. Wow. You know what? There's something about Tony Gonsolin. He's 14-1. He's got a great ERA. But this is it right here.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is there something about Tony Gonsolin?
I'm taking the Brewers again on the run line, 1.5 on the +1.5.
So we got Dodgers -1.5. It's a good team to have.
I also got I've got a little bonus for you guys.
Oh, wait a second. Is this a three-teamer or a part?
No. This is just something to hide away in the back of your mind for Saturday.
An acorn.
Saturday. The Usman card?
The Usman card. 278 MMA hangout. We'll be watching the fights. I've got a little something for you. I joined the guys on No Bets Barred, MMA Fighting. Love those guys, Connors and Jed. They put me on to a little something. I'm going to put something on to you guys.
Are you just doing shout-outs in the middle of what it is that we're
listen. What words did you just say?
I didn't understand.
Okay,
you're talking
so
fast. Enunciate.
Okay, I went.
Turn on the F1 music because he's talking
Tony,
fast.
Tony, go sit in the penalty box.
Well, I'm about to give you the lock of the absolute millennium.
Go sit in the penalty box.
A Millennium Lock, though, Dan. Hold on. Hold on. Let's not be hasty.
The Millennium Falcon.
All right. Whoa, that's a Star Wars reference. Now he's got to stay.
Go sit in the penalty box for 2 minutes, and we will come back to you in a second after you have sat this out, because I need to explain to the audience how terrible this has been. We are a gambling entity is funding everything around here. There are more and more people every day. I keep seeing more and more people every day. And no, we have not been good. Are you guys going to do that show on air, or just no, Jessica and Amin are going to do not. That private show? Absolutely. Go ahead and do that show on air.
That's the third time I've fed you a line, and you've just like laughed into the mic out loud.
But it's funny. You're funny. What can I say? Like,
well, why won't you do that on air instead of both of you doing a private show?
She can't do this joke. Don't bite the hand that feeds you, Dan. I know you know that one.
I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds us in DraftKings. We are trying as a gambling entity. They are relying on us to help them make content.
I guess the important thing here is if you're going to wave off a joke, don't laugh at it over the air and do what you did.
But
that's
it's
called
funny.
Show killing. Because well, no, Dan can't do anything with it.
Feel free to do the show with us as opposed to the private show that you guys are doing where we all just hear your laugh and you fall out. And man, it seems really fun to do the show that Jessica and Amin are doing in the middle of our show.
Yesterday I had a tweet that I wanted to send, but I didn't send because I thought DraftKings might get upset with me.
What was it?
Well, so Jake Paul was at Marlins Park, and I don't know if you saw how he was
performing. Terrible. He was terrible at batting practice.
Reports got to me that he missed four bunts in a row as well. It wasn't just that he didn't hit. He missed four bunts as well.
He tried to bunt in batting practice?
So he put out a video, or his people put out a video, or someone put out a video of him not getting hits or whatever, and I wanted to tweet out, could have gone better. But I didn't, because better, BTR, is his new gambling thing that he does. But I didn't, because I wouldn't do that to DraftKings. I wouldn't promote that.
Also,
DraftKings has got to be on the joke with us. I want these parlays to be fun, coming from a ridiculous entity that doesn't know anything. Fade Tony. He's arrogant for no reason. He's got locks of the millennium that win in the 12th inning by a run.
Why don't I just add that Greg's been spectacular during this segment. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Is that dye stains on your forehead?
I have no idea. I don't have a mirror. Is it?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah. It's not the first time I've caught it, too. Like a couple years back, your ear was covered in dye.
I asked my wife this morning to inspect my entire skull.
Princess dye.
For just that. And apparently she did a bad job.
Billy, go ahead. I mean, go sit in the penalty box with Tony, please. Get out of here. I don't need your help. Thank you. Princess Di, you're channeling Cody today, laughing at a show that you're doing privately.
Yes. Go for it.
Amin's got some bad judgment sometimes. I've heard it on Cinephobe. That whole crew has some bad judgment. Everybody over there.
And all of us, minus Amin, are going to be doing a Better Call Saul recap on Mystery Crate this week with Roy and Jer-Bear.
Roy!
I will listen to that so I can just catch up on the Breaking Bad universe.
You know what? I don't need you to watch the show. I don't care if you watch the show, but have an open heart.
Oh, I want to know what's happening. I just don't have the time.
So. Jessica, please. I am. Can you tell me, because I've been wanting to talk and watch Better Call Saul, but I've fallen behind. And so I am... First episode has just ended, second half of the last season. I am not caught up. I am behind. I didn't realize we were still doing shows where everybody has to watch them at the same time. You've now seen all of Better Call Saul. I want your viewpoints on this. I'm mad that Roy's not here because I do want to hear. It's one of Roy's favorite shows, and I'm assuming it's one of yours too.
Definitely. I think, I don't want to spoil anything for you or Tony, who's now in the penalty box, but I think it ended up being... You know, there's a lot of debate if it's better than Breaking Bad or not. And I don't even know if that's a worthwhile conversation because it doesn't exist without Breaking Bad because it's a prequel. And the creators of it got so much creative freedom because of the goodwill of creating Breaking Bad. And
I should say, by the way,
pioneering.
I should say that show, I was never going to give it a chance because Breaking Bad was too good.
Right.
Why would you do the cartoonish spinoff?
Exactly.
There's no chance of it being as good. And so I think people's assessment of Better Call Saul is at least in part that it might be as good or better because of what the expectations were. Breaking Bad was allowed to be a surprise. Better Call Saul exceeded expectations.
Had a lot to live up to. And I think it stuck the landing. I think Vince Gilligan goes 2 for 2 on series finales because I really like the Breaking Bad ending. I really like the Better Call Saul ending, and I thought it was appropriate for what this series has been, which Better Call Saul, or I should say Breaking Bad, was always the series where there was action, there was Walter White creating bombs and poison and rigging a machine gun in his car and doing these crazy elaborate things. And he always was winning and just his devolving into this like master criminal mastermind. And Better Call Saul was not that show. And so the ending wasn't like the ending of Breaking Bad. It was very fitting of what the last 5.5 seasons have been, which is kind of a slow burn where it's a study in character writing. And you really got to know these characters and care about them so much. And I think more than anything, fans of the show are just going to miss having the characters around every week and checking in with them and seeing what happens with them, because there wasn't a ton of action in the show. There was some. And when there was action, it was really good and there were high payoffs. But the show just gave you a lot of people that you really cared about. And so I'll miss tuning in every week to see what they're up to.
I wonder, in all of the changes in entertainment, how many shows are going to be able to make a connection from that place where they make people gather around and want to watch it as it happens. This is the first since Game of Thrones, is it not? The first of any kind where everyone is talking about a single show?
The Last Dance.
Joe Exotic.
Yeah, Tiger King.
Yeah, Tiger King. That's true.
Do you want
to? No, it is true, though. It does harken back to a time where, you know, if we're like in the 2010s, we called it like the golden age of television. And now we're like in the late stages of that. I've heard TV people call it like the platinum age, because now there's so much stuff and it's like normal to have these big budget shows like this Lord of the Rings show that's coming out in a couple weeks. And it's not as shocking as it was when Game of Thrones first came out and had these big budget, you know, like the Battle of the Bastards episode. Like, these things are happening more and more on TV now. And so we're like post golden age, and now we're just in the age of television rules everything and it's supreme. But in that happening, there's so much fragmentation of audiences that it does. Like, I don't think Better Call Saul had insane ratings. I don't think it probably was watched by as many people even as Game of Thrones or of some other shows. But if you have a show that has a really dedicated cult following that is going to tune in, they're going to create like spinoff podcasts, they're going to be really engaged on social media and on Reddit, like that's a really successful show. And they're able to do that show, carry it out until the end. They no one told them like, all right, this is the last season. Like, they were able to tell the story they wanted to tell. And that's really rare on TV these days, because a lot of creators don't get the chance to let that story ride out the way that they want to. And so it kind of is a lesson in like letting creators just create stuff and not worrying so much. Like, the first season of Better Call Saul was good, but it certainly wasn't the most electric 10 episodes of TV I've ever watched.
This is why I'm worried about what is happening in the streaming business as HBO cuts back. Because when you mention Game of Thrones, I'm assuming Game of Thrones, epic, wonderful, everything else that everyone says about Game of Thrones, I'm assuming that reached as many people as it did because HBO has a business model.
That doesn't matter, Dano. Lock of the millennium. Again, I'll say it for everybody.
Million subscribers.
I'll say it for everybody that didn't hear me the first time. I was on No Bets Barred, MMA Fighting's podcast. They go through the UFC cards. We bet. We do a lot of stuff. I was put onto the gospel of flyweight unders, and I'm giving it to you guys. I'm giving you guys the news a la God's breath. Every time, flyweight bouts, they're always unders, okay? There's always unders in flyweight bouts. So I'm going
to
go
counterintuitive. Those guys fight to the death.
Right. But the point is that there's usually a finish on the under. So just to put a little bit in the back of your mind, Saturday night, if you want to put in a wager on DraftKings, Amir Albazi versus Francisco Figueiredo, flyweight bout in the prelims, under 2.5 rounds, giving you a nice plus 115.
Mm-hmm. So we take the over. Thank you.
Love that pick.
And
I don't think
over.
Game of Thrones had the same audience in season one that it had by the time the series ended. I think it built over time because there were, you know, it had the cult following from people who really liked the book. And then they didn't really cast that many super widely known actors. Sean Bean was in it. But then, you know, shockingly, yeah, Spoiler alert, they behead him at the end of the first season. Whoa. And that was how Game of Thrones subverted the audience expectations and put itself on the map. Because there's one thing, like Mike was saying, about if you know what's going to happen, why watch the show? For so long, the convention in movies and in TV was like, well, the big ticket actor, the main character, like they're gonna survive, like, yeah, at the very least, like they have to be in the show. And Game of Thrones was like, no, actually, we're gonna behead him and you're gonna meet all these new people in season two. And then they continued to do like you know, these subversive season finales or penultimate episodes where they just killed all the main characters and then were able to replace them with even better, amazing characters. But then, unfortunately, George R.R. Martin was not keeping up with the show's pace.
They ran out of book.
And they ran out of book. And the last season sucked. It was awful. It was the most jarring thing ever because I went from like being this huge Game of Thrones fan. It's like the only thing I thought about.
It's hard
about.
To get the ending right I on epic expectations.
I was obsessed with Game of Thrones. I watched the season finale and I literally buried Game of Thrones into the back of my brain for like 8 months. I didn't even think about it. I was so mad. I was like, I'm never thinking about this again.
You know that
forgot
meme?
It existed for a while.
It's a picture of a horse and like at the start. Yes. The horse's head is yes. very detailed and lifelike, and as it goes back to the back of the horse, it just turns into like a stick figure. And they said, this is Game of Thrones, pretty much. You say it's hard to stick the landing. I submit to you, they didn't give a shit about sticking the landing because you had things like a Starbucks cup on the on the table. Like, it was just,
it was
so
PSL
sloppy.
Season in Westeros. Like, Khaleesi just wanted a PSL.
There was, that was great, though.
Is.
A Starbucks cup in the middle of an epic scene from another time. That's amazing. You got to admit that's amazing on sloppiness for a show that detailed.
If you hear a show has turned it around, like, for example, I'm hearing this a lot about Westworld right now, that it's
they
good
did.
Again.
They did. I won't lie. I was out on Westworld.
But I was totally out on Westworld. I love season one. Season two totally lost me.
No,
I love season two. There were some really, really good episodes in season two that were like films.
But
like,
I heard then season three totally lost everybody.
Boom.
Yeah.
But now that it's back, I struggle to find time for it because I'm just burned by how it went south for me.
So I'm going
to
tell you how it went. Season one was awesome. I think everyone loved season one. Season one was awesome, and there was like a twist in there. I'm not going to give it away, but it was like, oh, wow. Oh, now I get it.
I got out in season two, though.
Because of too many twists.
Yeah.
Season two was like, and we're going to have seven different timelines. I'm like, wait, no, what? Like, but it was still interesting.
It was.
Then season three was just like, get the hell out of here.
Can I skip season three entirely?
Well, there's a main character in season three that becomes like one of the main people in season four. So you might be able to read it on Wikipedia and then catch up.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to watch like all 8 hours of it.
Greg, do you watch any of these things? You just blurted. Your only contribution was never watched it. It's the first time I've heard from you in about 12 minutes.
Look, I'm a passenger on this whole conversation. I got to be honest with you.
You've been typing the entire conversation.
I never watched Breaking Bad.
He's writing a column.
I'm sorry. I never watched Breaking Bad. I'm the one.
Yeah, that's a good question.
What do you watch? Let's talk about some great
Carol Burnett was in Better Call Saul, Greg.
Was she?
I feel
really?
Like that's very of your
era. Was she tugging on her earlobe? What? There's too much now. I can't watch everything.
What do you watch?
I mean, what don't...
Oh, no, don't say what don't I watch. I know what you don't watch. Westworld, Game of Thrones.
Here's the thing about my consumption. I give it one chance. I watch a show once. If it doesn't latch onto me, I give up on it. You know, I don't keep... My wife is a binge watcher. She'll watch anything, anytime. I'm not like that. I can't sit... And stare at a TV. Wait,
that's insane.
Unless it's great.
You just watch one of every show? Like one episode of every show?
I give it a chance. Except Breaking Bad, I never watched.
What's the last show that latched on for Greg Cody?
I love
Bonanza.
I love Hacks.
Hacks is great. Do you watch Miss Maisel?
Yeah, no. I love that show.
I feel like that's very Greg Cody.
I love that show, yeah.
It started good.
In the Borscht Belt.
It got silly after
again,
a while.
Another Borscht Belt reference.
Well, that's Mrs.
You have mentioned the Borscht Belt about seven times. Like, right. I think it's. Do you have a Back in My Day?
It's Wednesday.
He's got you there. He's got you there.
It's not Tuesday.
The contract says Tuesdays.
That's not done one on the Borscht. You have not done one. The delight you guys get from him not doing his job. All of you. No, wait a minute. The happiness. Billy.
That's how quickly he said it's
Wednesday. Yeah. Just a tremendous pivot
very
by him.
Matter of fact. Like, he looks at you like you got two
heads.
What is
heads. A fact?
Everybody knows that.
It's Wednesday, you idiot.
You're asking about a Back in My Day.
He's made Borscht Belt references. Whittingham, just look up the reference that he's making here.
Some people put smetana in their borscht.
Just read from the internet.
Sounds graphic.
On what the Borscht Belt is, so that people understand the reference that Greg Cody is making, how musty it is, and how most people don't know what the hell he's talking about.
The Borscht Belt is a colloquial term for the mostly defunct summer resorts of the Catskill Mountains and part of Sullivan, Orange, and Ulster counties, straddling both upstate New York and the northern edges of the New York metropolitan area in the United States.
Which is exactly where Mrs. Maisel is
situated.
The Catskills.
Yep.
Prior to that show, I always assumed the Borscht Belt was around Wisconsin because I thought it was like a sausage meat.
No, it's like a stew, right?
Borscht.
I thought that was a soup.
It's beets. It's like a beet soup.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
It's a soup. Isn't it a Russian soup of some sort?
Yeah, it's beet.
Beets are not for me.
I'm not a beet fan.
I'm more like
I love
beet
beets.
Do you really?
All right, so you're off beet?
Greg, I feel like you're definitely of the Murder, She Wrote, Columbo, Magnum P.I. era also.
I used to like Columbo.
I love Columbo.
Yeah.
But they're making you older than you are with Bonanza and all of these things.
I remember Bonanza. My family, you know, you were either a Bonanza person or a Gunsmoke person. You know, it's like Yankees or Mets. You know, you can't be both.
Mm.
And we were a Bonanza family. You know, it doesn't please me to tell you.
Did you watch Brazos?
Oh, Brazos?
No.
Really?
Great show.
It was a good show.
Really good.
Police procedural.
Seems like something you would like.
No, I never watched that.
Steve Martin was the lead?
Literally Steve Martin.
Speaking of Steve Martin, the Only Murders in the Building show?
Yeah.
That's an example. I've tried to like that show because my wife likes it. I've watched like two or three episodes. It's just not happening for me.
Why not?
So I gave up on it.
It's a murder mystery.
It's,
Well, did you start at the beginning or season two? Season two, a bit too many cameos in it.
The face he just made, if you're listening to the podcast, fast forward to this part on the YouTube and look at his face.
Really? We're going to give people instructions like that?
Yes. That's how you become inclusive, Dan.
Yes, that's
inclusive. Some audiences only listen. Some of them like watching. Sometimes we have to introduce the listening-only audience. Hey, you don't have to listen, watch the whole thing, but you got to fast forward to this part.
What was the look on his face?
You got to fast forward and see. Yeah.
The listening audience is just like,
no,
what?
No, seasons. People ask me, did you start from season one or season three? They run together. You don't know seasons, season schmeason. You don't know what's what. I mean, you know, everybody's watching everything anytime. It's no longer Saturday at 8 p.m.
The noise that he made dismissing seasons. What I liked about Columbo is every episode was a story. You can just jump in any season.
Why is Jessica laying on the floor?
The noise that he made right before dismissing
seasons. Can
season.
We find, now, it? Can now we find the noise?
To the YouTube audience, you want to go back to the podcast and listen for this noise.
See? Happy 79th birthday to Robert De Niro.
Yeah, happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
I've always known Robert De Niro is a great actor, and I've loved many of his films, but I rewatched Heat over the course of five nights because, like I said, I am washed now. De Niro is so pitch perfect in Heat. He nails the assignment. And, well, Al Pacino totally overshoots the mark in retrospect.
Bad kissing, too?
What?
Bad kissing and really like a chronic overactor.
What?
Chronic overactor.
Oh, my God.
But De Niro is so understated and perfect
your
in that
role. Your take on Al Pacino was not as delicate before. Have you been scarred by the internet with your Wire take and all your other bad takes this week?
I love Al Pacino. No, I love Two for the Money. I love Devil's Advocate.
Yesterday, you were saying Al Pacino, bad actor. Today, it's whatever phrase you just used.
He overacts. He overacts. And
chronic overactor.
But yeah, but so does Nick Cage. A lot of my favorites do that. They overshoot the mark. But I think in Heat in particular, whereas in Devil's Advocate, you want the overacting. In Two for the Money, you want the overacting. In Heat, everyone else in the cast is so perfect that by comparison, Al Pacino just flies past him. Like, he's an L.A. detective.
He's a loose cannon.
Who talks like this?
A loose cannon talks like that. She's got a great ass.
My favorite part about that scene is, like, he was going to go big, but he changes it last second because you could see his mouth forming the B. And I think he, like, totally improvises great.
My favorite part of that is that Hank Azaria is beneath him, said Jesus naturally, and they kept that tape. Like, he was scared by Al Pacino.
He was thinking what I was thinking, which is this
that was too much.
Really
chronic overacting.
Is it like the Jamie Foxx stand-up where he's talking about being in Any Given Sunday, and him and LL Cool J had a real beef on the set, so they're doing the
right
scene
down the street. This was these beefs were right around here, the week blocks from here.
So he's telling the story. He says they're doing the scene, and he's looking at LL, and he says, "I don't know if he's going for an Oscar. I think this guy really wants to fight me right now." That's
That's always great when you have two actors and one of them is like, this guy's a little bit too into it.
But I've told you before, Michael Mann's one of my favorite filmmakers, and he just wrote a novel, which is a sequel to Heat. And I really want to read
this. Wait, he wrote the novel?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Heat 2.
Yeah. I can't wait to read it. And I just wanted to refamiliarize myself with some of these characters because they're in Heater.
We mentioned De Niro, though. He's coming out with a new movie. He's been doing grandpa roles the last five.
What?
Yes, that's right. That was earned. The last 5 years or 7 years of De Niro have all been grandpa roles, except for what he did with Scorsese on Netflix, The Irishman. Ugh. And now he's doing Wise Guys. At 79 years old, he's going back to the old formula, the one from Casino and Goodfellas and everything else. You buying Wise Guys, De Niro, at 79 years old?
And he tried to not be a grandpa in The Irishman, and you have like the one scene that made him seem older than anything he's ever done, which was when he was a young man kicking somebody on the ground. They couldn't replace that via CGI. They couldn't get it.
They were trying to make him tougher with the kicks, and it was still a 75-year-old man administering kicks.
I love Robert De Niro. I love him even more. In rewatching Heat, I've realized what I should have already known is this guy's honestly one of the greatest to ever do it. Whereas Pacino, I think over time, if you revisit some of his 90s work, he was that guy. He was always reputed to be the guy. And it's funny because in Heat, they only really share one scene together. Mm-hmm. You have this movie.
But that was cinematic. That was supposed to be history. It's the last scene that they're sharing. Mm-hmm. They're running through an airport for 17 minutes. Well, it's a ridiculous scene.
No. You're forgetting about the coffee with Macaulay he had half an hour ago.
Oh, that's right.
No,
Glenn Ross on
Casino. No. The coffee with Macaulay is Heat. I just had coffee with Macaulay half an hour ago because he pulls De Niro over and they share this dialogue in a diner where they both know what they're up to, but he knows that Pacino can't prove it. And then they don't speak again until the very end of the film during that final chase scene. But the movie is perfect.
That was a big deal when that movie came out because obviously they had been in a movie together before, but because of the timelines of Godfather 2, they're never sharing a scene. So this was like the big, this is like Kobe and LeBron being on the same team.
But now listen to Mike. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is Al Pacino a bad actor? Because you've said chronic overactor. That's more tepid than yesterday. And I want your takes to keep getting. I want every week for someone to come in here with a take that's outlandish that they really actually believe. I want it. I want to announce it. I want it to have fanfare. I believe as a group, we can all come up with as ridiculous a take. You've had like three of them this week.
Well, for our book club, we're going to watch Heat 2. We're going to read Heat 2, and we should rewatch Heat 1 just to familiarize ourselves. I saw that Pacino was asked, who do you want to play your character in Heat 2? Because obviously he's in his 80s now, and he said Timothy Chalamet.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a good, shout out to Pacino. The Stugatz is strong in him. I don't know, Timothy Chalamet, why not?
the hottest young actor.
Yeah,
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.